Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, February 25th. It's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 92, first paragraph. If you are satisfied, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And today's readers are Martha M. for the 12 Steps, Laura R. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of the text are Kathy Jo P., Robin D. Z., and Ellen D. The share ID for Monday, February 24th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 14,163. That's 14163. And for this morning's meeting, Tuesday, February 25th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 14,170. That's 14170. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Martha M. to read the 12 Steps. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning, Mo. This is Martha M. from Connecticut. I'm a recovering compulsive under and overeater. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you, Mo, for your trusted service, and have a great day. Thank you.
And thank you, Martha, too, for the month of February. And now the 12 traditions. I will now ask Laura R. to read those for us. Thanks. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. This is Laura R., recovered compulsive overeater in Greeley, Colorado. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, Mo, and I pass.
Yes, thank you, Laura, for your service this month. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. And that's the star 1 button on your phone, not the mute button. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 92, the first paragraph, if you are satisfied. And I will now ask Kathy Jo P. to get us started. Good morning, Kathy Jo.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. If you are satisfied that he is a real alcoholic, begin to dwell on the hopeless feature of the malady. Show him from your own experience how the queer mental condition surrounding that first drink prevents normal functioning of the willpower. Don't at this stage refer to the book unless he has seen it and wishes to discuss it. And be careful not to brand him as an alcoholic. Let him draw his own conclusion. If he sticks to the idea that he can still control his drinking, tell him that possibly he can. If he is not too alcoholic, but insists that if he is severely afflicted, there may be little chance he can recover by himself. So the first thing that jumped out here for me is the word queer. So I looked it up in Wikipedia, and I could almost replace that with how the normal mental conditioning surrounding that first bite prevents normal functioning of the willpower. And I was in a way in the 80s, and I basically at that time heard get off sugar. And I stayed off sugar, and I pretty much hung out at a pretty normal weight, but I was completely white knuckling, and I was not a happy camper. And eventually I left the rooms, and I spent the next 22 years trying to recover by myself. But the recover by myself was not to get spiritually fit. It was to get the weight off when I thought maybe I should, which wasn't all the time. Most often I ignored that I had tipped the scales to over 300 pounds. But I was trying to battle the food, battle the sugar, battle the fats, battle the portions. And I did see many of you along the way. And at times I would ask, are you still off sugar? What food plan are you on? I was still in search of the diet, the perfect diet that would get the weight off so that I could, what I thought then, be okay. And I ended up coming to the rooms and I got off sugar, and this was about 8 years ago. But I would say I was still the perfect protege that needed help, because I got off sugar and I still was overeating on foods, especially fats, and I was not a happy camper. And so what I'm saying with that is often our prospect is in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, and that's where I was, and I still was looking for the perfect diet. But what I love is no one that I remember that stood out as someone that had what I needed, more than what I wanted, shoved anything down my throat. But they showed up with being gracious, a gracious recovered person, kind, polite. And I was attracted to that. And eventually, I was willing to pick up this book and do this work, and God happened for me. And I often say I did not have weight loss surgery. I had spiritual surgery through the 12 steps. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Kathy Jo, for getting us started. And I'll now remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 92, the first paragraph. If you are satisfied, just that one paragraph only, who would like to share this morning?
Christina J.
Stacy
J.
Who was that, Stacy?
Stacy okay. J. Yes, thank you.
Anyone else?
I got Sherry Josie.
Sherry Josie.
Thank you.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Shelly C. R.
Shelly C. R. And one more.
Sarah.
Sarah, what's your first initial of your last name?
S, like Sarah. Thank you.
Sarah S. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have Christina J, Stacy J, Sherry Jo. I forgot your last initial. You can give it to me at the time. Kathleen O, Shelly C R, and Sarah S. Hey, good morning, Christina.
Morning, Mo. Everyone, I'm homesick today, so I get to share on this line, and I'm so grateful to be, on my way to recovery again. I had a pickup about a month ago and for an afternoon, and it just once again proved to me that the first bite is the beginning of my death again. So, and I had an even more deeper death to the death of self. So, what are we looking at here? From my own experience, strength, and hope. If he sticks to the idea that he can still control his drinking, possibly tell him possibly that he can if he's not too alcoholic, but insists that if he's severely afflicted, there may be little chance he can recover by himself. I think it took me 60 years to figure out that I couldn't recover by myself. I didn't know I was severely afflicted and that I was getting more afflicted by the moment. Why did I think I could control my drinking? Because I figured that if I was thin, if I had a different man, if I had a different life, if my career would take off, if I had the right clothes, if I had the right car, all these things outside of myself, if I could get those in line, I could control this thing because I wouldn't be emotionally eating. I blame my eating on everything, on my unhappiness. And true, it is true that these unhappy things drive us. So that took me a long time to figure out, though. I just thought everything should change outside of myself. I had no idea that things had to change inside. So grateful to be here today. And to realize that I must carry this message to someone else. There was nobody telling me, those things aren't going to make you happy. And even if they did, I wouldn't believe them. So when I got into Vision and I had a sponsor tell me that, you think you're an alcoholic? You think you're a food addict? I had answered all the questions in the OA pamphlet they pass out that, you know, define you, that you can help define yourself by answering the questions. All those horrible questions, you know, you can't stop when starting, da-da-da, they go on and on. I answered every one of them yes. So years and years ago, I knew I was a compulsive overeater, but in and out of the rooms, I had no idea it was a deeper thing. And it's the most beautiful thing. It's the most beautiful thing when someone's hopeless and they've tried everything and all the things they've tried to control, the drinking, the eating, whatever, doesn't work. When my second husband died of cancer and I went back to OptiFast, a starvation shake routine in California, 800 calories a day, I couldn't do it. Could do no more diets. They stopped working. I was out of ideas. But it still took me another 10 years. To come crawling into the room. And when I heard the word recovered on Vision, and I heard that people were getting the sunlight of the Spirit, and when my sponsor talked to me about this, just talked to me, let me relate my own experience in, I had to be completely hopeless, down on the ground, before I begin to take the journey that would then take me through several more relapses, but then finally I admitted I was severely afflicted, and I couldn't do this myself. Thank you, Mo. Thank you, everyone on the line. I love you all. I pass.
Thank you so much, and get well. Stacy J, followed by Sherry Jo C, I remembered. All right, Stacy J.
Thanks so much, Mo, for your service. This is Stacy J, recovered food addict in Toronto, Canada. I love this paragraph. I can relate, like as previous shares sort of described, I can relate to it as the person who's still in an inner debate, and I can relate to it as the person who is talking to or face-to-face with somebody who is wondering whether or not they're a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety like I am. And I had recovery for 5 years, lost my weight, and then stopped working the program, and little by little, the food was the final thing to come back, and then I...
Stacy, we can't hear you.
Oh, sorry. Is that better? Can you hear me better now?
Oh, press star one, Stacy.
Is that better?
Oh, my goodness. Are you there? Stacy J?
Stacy, we can hear you.
Can you hear
me? I can't hear us.
Let's hold a spot for her, and we'll go back, and we'll...
Hold on.
Can you hear me now?
Josie.
Can you hear
me now?
We can hear you, Mo.
Mo, it's you.
Wow.
We can't hear.
Mo, the rest of us could hear her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh.
Now we can. Yeah,
yes.
We can hear you too. Technology. Should I continue?
Stacy, are you there?
I am here.
Is everybody else hearing her and I can't?
I think yes.
I'm so sorry, guys.
Yes, Mo, we hear her.
Sherry Jo, can you pick up?
Sure.
Stacy, not hearing anybody.
Mo, we can hear you.
What does that mean? Can anybody hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, I'm not hearing Stacy J or Sherry Jo.
Huh.
Mo,
we
hear Stacy perfectly.
That's very strange.
I don't know what to do.
Sherry Jo,
Mo?
Can you hear me?
Oh, there's Sherry Jo.
Yeah. Do you want to have, I think we can all hear Stacy. Do you want to have her continue?
All right. Well, if somebody could time her and tell her, give her about 2 minutes.
Okay.
All right. Somebody time her and tell her when to stop. Thank you very much. Go on,
okay.
Stacy. I don't know what's going on.
That's Mercury's retrograde. That's what's going on. Okay, so to continue, when I was in my relapse, I did not want to come back to OA. And I actually had the idea that I would only come back to the rooms when I had lost my weight, because I didn't want people to see how I had gained all my weight back and then some, and was over 200 pounds. And that's a crazy idea to, you know, what the rooms are to recover in, and I wanted to be recovered and then come in, and that did not work. And it wasn't until I
it wasn't until I was hopeless and desperate that I came back, and I'm so glad I did. And the other thing I want to say is that when, you know, no one can persuade a person that they are a compulsive overeater or a food addict. And I've seen that in people I've worked with, you know, if they're still not sure, I find it not very helpful to work with them, you know, because it kind of doesn't stick, and they've still got some experimenting to do with food. I like the analogy that I've heard that, and I use this sometimes when I'm talking to people, that in my experience, once I'm a pickle, I'll never be a cucumber again. You know, I've soaked in that brine. I've had my lifetime supply of sugar, and something in me has a switch has flipped that will never flip back. And so therefore I am a hopeless food addict. And that means that the only path for me is abstinence and a spiritual program to alleviate the mental twist of this disease. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
And I heard you now, so I don't know what happened. Yes, Mercury in retrograde. Sherry Jo C., you're up next.
Okay, great. Thanks, Mo. This is Sherry
I can
jo-
hear you.
Oh, awesome. Okay, great. This is Sherry Jo C., recovered compulsive eater in Southern California. Thank you. So happy to be here and so grateful for this community of visionaries. Thank you so much. The reading, I love this paragraph, and what's jumping out at me is that, you know, we're dealing with the fact that it's the problem centers in our mind. We're talking about the hopelessness of it. We're talking about the queer mental condition, the non-normal functioning of the willpower, et cetera. And, you know, what I'm getting from this is that as we're helping this person who shares our hopeless condition, they're telling us don't get ahead of them. Don't get ahead of them. It's not the same as if someone has a rash on their arm and you point and you say, yes, you have psoriasis on your arm. And obviously the problem centers on their arm. But here, I mean, the problem centers in our mind, and unless their mind gets to the place, as mine did, where I was totally at the end of myself, and I knew it, and I knew there was nothing inside of myself that was going to help me. Unless they're at that place, they're probably not going to hear what we're having to say, and I just love that they want us to not get ahead of them, you know, to talk about, you know, the queer mental condition, to talk about the normal functioning of the willpower. Like, my mom, as loving and sweet as she is, she has normal functioning of the willpower. She'll take a bite of something sweet, put it down, forget that it's even there, go off and do the dishes. Or she might say, oh, no, that was too sweet. It's ridiculous. Like, that's normal functioning of the willpower. And that's not something that I ever had, ever. I love how they say, don't at this stage refer to the book. No, don't get ahead of them. The problem centers in our mind, and our mind has to accept that we have this condition. I love that they're talking about don't brand them as alcoholic. Don't use words to get ahead of them. Don't tell them, oh, yeah, compulsive eater, blah, blah, blah. Have to read this book, have to read that book. No, let him draw his own conclusion. And I love how they talk about, you know, the idea that he can control his drinking. I remember when I first came in and I heard that, oh, you know, control and enjoy your drinking. I thought, that's right. Either I was controlling my food and I was miserable, or I was not, I wasn't enjoying it, or I was enjoying my food and I was totally out of control and I knew I wasn't living a normal life like a normal person. And the other thing that strikes me, too, is that, and I still believe this whole step for me, working with others, is about helping someone else begin to see they're not alone. Mm-hmm. Just as I started to understand I was not alone. I mean, our literature talks about, you know, the deadly business of living alone with our problems. And this is the beginning of the end of them living alone with their problem. Thank you so very much. I pass.
And thank you, Sherry Jo C. Kathleen O., followed by Shelley C.R. Kathleen, good morning.
Okay, good morning, Mo. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Like,
I know.
Trouble
I know. We're not supposed to say that, but.
Yeah, I know.
Can you
I
hear
can.
Me? Though?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Okay. So, good morning. This is Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California. So, if you're satisfied he's a real alcoholic, begin to dwell on the hopeless feature of the malady. Show him from your own experience. So, you know, it's not my place to decide if someone is a compulsive overeater. But what I do is I just share my own experiences and I ask them, you know, can you stay stopped? You know, this is about identifying in this incomprehensible demoralization, you know, can we stay stopped? And no person likes to think, as it says in More About Alcoholism, that he's bodily and mentally different from, you know, his friends. And, you know, do you have the idea that someday, somehow, do you have this illusion that you will be able to control it? But it's like, you know, I'll share my experience that I always wanted to do that. I had years and decades of experience of this phenomenon of craving. And I would still say it's not going to happen again. You know, I had this belief and reality, but it was an illusion. You know, I had this belief that I'm going to be like a normal person. But, you know, I would share stories of, and I had gazillions of them. They weren't hard to come up with. I remember going to a Super Bowl party years ago and wanting to be like everybody else. And I had many experiences like this. And, you know, I had been abstinent, but I wanted to be like everybody else. And it's amazing the amnesia we can have. You know, the second I rest on my laurels, I never should have gone to that Super Bowl Sunday party having resting on my laurels, because that's when everything falls apart. When I go into things like that now, I have to go in strong. I have to make sure I've got that connection going on. And anyway, I decided I was going to be like other people. Well, before the game was over, I was in the room where the food was, just binging on this food when people weren't watching. Now, that's not normal. And, you know, if people can identify in, we can help them. You know, we can show them how to get out of this hell and how to take the tombstones, you know, I mean, out of their eyes, get them to see that this really does work. This is a program that works. And to be able to get freedom from the food and to be able to go to places, and rather than think, oh, I'm going to be like them, I can control this, go in and know that that's not the case. And I need to have really strong, you know, abstinence, connection with my higher power, connection with all of you. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Mo.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Kathleen O. Shelley CR, followed by Sarah S. Shelley, good morning.
Good morning. This is Shelley CR from Duluth, Minnesota, recovering compulsive overeater. And so I'm very grateful to be here today. This paragraph, what jumps out at me is remembering when I first started within this program. And I came from another 12-step program, and so that was helpful that, you know, sponsorship was not anything new to me. So right away when I came in, well, let me backtrack actually. Prior to deciding to come to OA, I had attended one meeting a few years prior to that. And I came into that meeting and I was like, no, I can still do this. Like, I can lose this weight that I gained after this injury and my compulsive eating. Yeah, it went out of control, but like, no, like, I don't need to join. So fast forward a few years as my compulsive eating got worse and worse and worse. And then coming into the meeting, it was like, okay, I know that I need to get a sponsor, and that's first right away. And so one of the things that happened with my sponsor is that I remember her gentleness in exactly as it says here. If he sticks to the idea that he can still control his drinking, tell him that possibly he can if he's not too alcoholic. And that's exactly what she did with me. She let me know, like, sure, like when I would say, well, I could maybe do this or whatnot. And she would say, yeah, you know, if that's, go, you know, try it out. And she recognized that I was still in this experimentation phase and not 100% on board and not 100% convinced that I am a compulsive overeater and that this is the answer. And so I just remember that gentleness in allowing me to get to where I need to be through my higher power's journey, right? My higher power is controlling this process. And that's where I needed to be. And so now on the flip side that I'm sponsoring, it's also helpful for me in looking at this to realize, okay, I can share my own experience, but it's not up to me to tell the person, you know, that they are a compulsive eater or that they, you know, that they need to do this or that or the other. I can talk about things that I've, you know, experienced for myself and they can identify with that or not. You know, I can share other things that other people, if it's not my personal experience, I can, you know, say, I know I've heard people talk about this, just throw that out there. Again, it's something that they can decide on if they want to do. And then they can also, you know, continue to experiment if that's what they need to do, because again, it's their journey. But I can, you know, really show them, as it says, if they're severely afflicted, there may be little chance they can recover alone, right? And so it's just important reminders for me. And I need to worry about, you know, my own abstinence, and sharing this program with others helps me focus on keeping myself recovered. Well, I'm in the recovery phase, so recovered moving forward. So I'm very grateful to be here and grateful for all of your shares. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Shelley, CR. And before we go to Sarah, let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 92. The first paragraph, if you are satisfied. And after Sarah, I will take more names. Good morning, Sarah.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thank you. Well, to start, I'm just very satisfied that I don't have to decide if someone's a compulsive overeater. It's not my job as a sponsor or as a member. But that being said, when I came into these 12-step programs, the 12-step program for food addiction, also food compulsive overeating, I had met someone who shared with me she had lost 80 pounds and kept it off for 5 years at the time. And I was like, oh. And then I noticed that she always had her pockets full of packaged candy that she was willing to give out to the children we were working with, but she never touched it. And I really don't remember asking her how she did it. I can almost see all the candy wrappers, though, you know, all the different flavors. But anyway, I do remember that she said, you know, there's these meetings. Why don't you come to a meeting sometime? And I was like, oh, well, okay. And so she called, this virtual stranger called and left a message about the meeting. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm not going there. And then I couldn't do that because I show up. I mean, that is something I do. I don't dismiss other people because I hate being dismissed. So I called her back and met her at the meeting. And all I heard was no flour, no sugar. And I was like, well, that's not me. And as I was leaving, she kind of chased, this woman chased me down, kind of said, oh, what'd you think? I said, yeah, I thought that was good, except, you know, I'm a salty, crunchy. And, you know, thinking this is not the last house on the block for me. I got to find the salty, crunchy 12-step program. Anyway, I didn't know who I was. But, and I heard somebody else say that. I didn't understand what my problem was. All I knew is I was severely overweight, hadn't gotten on a scale for years, and I was miserable. And so I came back to the second meeting. Someone grabbed my hand, led me to a sponsor. That person wrote down my food plan, and that was the beginning of realizing I was exactly where I should be. And listening to people's stories about the misery of eating when I didn't want to, buying packages, two or three of them, just in case I ate one or two of them, there'd be one left on the shelf for my kids. And all of those stories, I was like, wow, after all these years, this is where I'm supposed to be. These are my people. These are people who share the same horrible affliction and malady and the head trip and the allergy that was really brought to life in this program, where I get to seek myself. You know, I'm obedient. Tell me what to do. Show me the manual. I'll do it. But this program, where everything's you know, the vision program's done on the phone, and the self-seeking, the self-searching, I shouldn't say seeking, searching that gets to be, that I've gotten to do because of what I hear on these lines has been life-changing. And so I'm just very grateful. And any newcomers out there, just keep coming back. Thank you. This is Sarah from California.
And thank you, Sarah. And so now I'll open the lines up for more who'd like to share on this page 92, first paragraph.
Ricky M.
Ricky M.
Kaylee R.
Julie R. Oh, Kaylee R.
Kaylee R.
Elaine B.
Elaine B.
Ellen D.
Lorraine N.
Ellen D. and Lorraine N. Let's stop there because I don't know if we're going to have enough time because of the debacle in the beginning. Okay, Ricky, I have Ricky M, I think it is, Kaylee R, Elaine B, Ellen D, and Lorraine N. Ricky.
Hi, I have some kids here, so I hope I can get this going. It is really cool. I've never really read straight through the book, and hearing this was wow, because I've had that experience that I've been in a meeting and a good friend of mine was there and she was so excited and she's so like, yes, she's ready. And then she started arguing about different foods. She's like, I can't live without my bagels and cream cheese. You know, it's a tradition. And I wasn't quite sure who she was fighting because I wasn't really like fighting with her. And I don't know what she was hung up about. But what I'm realizing in this book is like, she was hearing things, she was getting triggered, and she was arguing with herself. And it was hard for me because I've never really had that experience. Because for me, I came in here, I was desperate. I know I was an addict, I know my behaviors. And for some to see somebody who has never had that experience or doesn't understand themselves kind of need to go through it, she's not ready. But she's still fighting, and it's okay. Like, and you know, it took me a while to learn to adjust to that and to let her fight on her, you know, just to be there as a friend, but not to do anything, not call her an addict. So yeah, sure, no problem. It might not, you know, it's okay. This is an amazing. This is such a good clarification. Like, don't call them an addict. Let them figure it out. Let them have their own experience, and just be there, you know. Yeah, watching people struggle is really hard when you know, for me, I know it's life and death. When people are not there yet, I've heard, I think it was on the Sunday share, you know, you have to step over bodies sometimes because you can't help them. You can't. You can only help the people that are there and are ready. But as being an example, I had another experience on Sunday. Another person was arguing about the coffee. What do you mean you don't have sweeteners? Why not? I said, because it doesn't work for me. I get addicted with sweeteners. But I don't get it. Why? That's not, again, who is he arguing against? Like, I'm not telling him that that's what you need for recovery. But everyone has their own experience. And by being an example, that's all we can do. It's really just doing what we're doing, doing the work we're doing. And when they're ready, they'll ask the questions, tell me how high to jump, and I'll jump. And it's like, no, it's your program. You know, I'm here to help and support. But it's the people that want to recover will recover because they're going to do the recovery. And, yeah, with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, Ricky M. Kaylee R., followed by Elaine B. Good morning, Kaylee.
Thank you, Mo. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, great. I am Kaylee R. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I really like that the paragraph says, show from your own experience. And I know further on it says not to, you know, talk about the program or show them the book. But I definitely have people call and asking for me to sponsor them. And then they say, well, I've got this other food plan, or I'm working with a nutritionist, or whatever the case may be. And they only want to work the steps. But I found from, you know, we have to get entirely abstinent. And when they say, you know, I can still have Diet Pepsi, for instance, because that was what took me back into relapse. I say that doesn't work for me, and that's not my story. And maybe that will work for you, but I don't have that experience. And I try to also really, like, convey that everybody has their own list of alcoholic ingredients. Nobody's list is probably going to be exactly the same as mine. I feel like, you know, gradually things keep getting added to the list because, right, I like to make food sexy, and that's what my disease does, and tries to, you know, numb out with those foods. But all I can show and all I can tell anyone, not even just a sponsee, any fellow, or anybody not in this program, is my experience and what worked for me. And I found that, you know, being entirely absent is what worked for me. And I just wanted to, like, throw that out there. I don't know if that's helpful for anyone, but I can't work with anybody else's experience. I heard somebody else say, like, you know, I can say I heard somebody did this, or I heard this worked for somebody else, but again, it's not my experience, and all I can share with someone is my experience. And also walking somebody through the steps, like, I got recovered a certain way, and I'm sure there are definitely other ways to get recovered than the way that I got recovered. But again, I only know the way that I got recovered, and so I can't speak to these other ways. And so I definitely try to communicate that with, you know, newcomers and sponsors. They're like, there are other ways out there. I only know this way, and go with that. But I just wanted to share that. Thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Kaylee R. Elaine B., followed by Ellen D. Elaine.
Thanks so much for your service, Mo. This is Elaine B., gratefully recovered in Massachusetts. And, you know, working with others or instructions for step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics, in our case, compulsive overeaters, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So, you know, I've gone to them. They've agreed to see me. I've told them how I was a baffled lot. I told them about my curious mental twist. I've told them about my experience with the food and how, as little as I wanted to, as much as I wanted to stop, that queer mental condition surrounding that first bite prevented me from normal functioning of my willpower. I willed with all my might, but it wasn't enough. But, you know, it's not my job to define whether they are a compulsive overeater. I can't convince them. All the frothy emotional appeal in the world will not convince them. They need to be convinced themselves. And so I may be at a place approaching somebody who is very close to convinced or is convinced and is ready to start doing the work. Or I may be just planting a seed of doubt. If they're a potential compulsive overeater, they may progress to that. The 12 and 12, when they write on step one on page 23, it says, it was obviously necessary to raise the bottom the rest of us had hit to the point where it would hit them. And it's sort of like letting them know by our experience how bad this thing can get. So it raises the bar and allows them, with that kind of thinking, to begin to identify in and to let them know, you know, if you are severely afflicted, there may be little chance you can recover by yourself. Just planting a seed. If they continue to come around you or OA meetings or listen to vision, that seed is going to keep getting watered. And, you know, the key is to ask them the questions, to ask them the questions in the pamphlet, ask them the questions in the first book, in the step one readings. Turn those statements into questions. Is this you? Do you think like Bill thinks? Do you eat like Bill drank? You know, do you do what he did? Do you have this malady? And if they have it, convince them they're doomed, that there is little chance they can recover by themselves. Pain is a great motivator. Fear is a great motivator. And it takes that to pick up the spiritual toolkit and work it all the way through to recovered. But being a shining light that it is possible, that you can do this. They may come back to you or end up with somebody else. That doesn't matter. We've effectively done step 12. If we've just planted that seed of hope and potential, if they are a real compulsive overeater. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Elaine B. Ellen D., followed by Lorraine N. Good morning, Ellen.
Hi, this is Ellen D., recovered in Texas, and so very grateful. So it says, let them draw their own conclusions. And in more about alcoholism, it says, you know, they'll diagnose themselves, and I'm not going to pronounce them. And you know, if they think they can control it and they're a real compulsive overeater, then, you know, maybe they have more research to do and that's okay. I needed to know that I know that I know that this is who I am and not have anyone try to convince me. And I think they need that also, you know, like a full knowledge of their condition. And I'm grateful that when I started listening to this meeting, that's what I heard. You know, I heard the focus on the hopeless feature, the mental twist, and how I couldn't do it alone. I heard that it was progressive and permanent and fatal, and I kept hearing it, and I thought, oh my goodness, like, this is worse than I thought. I thought I just had a problem, you know, with eating and needed self-control, but they're telling me this is an illness. And the more I listened, the more convinced I became. And when I tried to identify out because I hadn't gained 100 pounds, I would hear people share that they only gained 25, but still they had the twofold nature of the illness. And that helped me so much. And then my sponsor did the same, you know, reinforcing these ideas and letting me see, oh my goodness, I've done that. And she had me, you know, come up with stories of my own that I would be able to share, or have me write them down so I would clearly remember specific stories that I could share with people, things I had done with food so they could see if they could identify in. And yeah, it seems weird in a way to say the hopeless feature needs to be dwelt on, but it does, and it helped me, and I know it helps others, and I'm just so grateful for this meeting, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen D. And our last chair will be Elaine N. Not Elaine, Lorraine N. Good morning, Lorraine.
Hi, Mo. Thank you. Good morning. Boy, what a great meeting. Let's see. Regarding sponsors, yes. Well, first of all, when I was hopeless, and I've been in OA for 40 plus years, and I have never experienced the recovery I'm experiencing now until I found Visions, when I found Visions. A woman came into the meeting, left the phone number. I have not seen her, but thank God she left that meeting, left the number at that meeting. Sponsorship. I love my new sponsor, and but I have to say I had another sponsor for a while that I was doing remarkably well with, I felt, and for personal reasons that sponsor had to drop me, and it happened in an email. So I was out there like suddenly with no sponsor, floundering around, and I didn't find it that easy to connect with a recovered sponsor. So it took me 2 months to connect with a new sponsor, during which time I had many little relapses, binges, and I'd get a couple weeks and binge, get a couple weeks. And finally, I heard someone on the line that I loved her share, and I called, and she agreed to sponsor me, and she treats me like an adult. She knows I want this. She knows I want this. And I want to share that I'm in someone's home for the last 4 days. I've been visiting, and it happened to be my birthday over the weekend. And a Sunday morning yesterday, I woke up to the smell of this sweetness permeating through the household. I walked into the kitchen. There was a cake. She yells, "Happy birthday." And, oh, my God, I said, "Lucy, I can't eat that." And she went off on me. Mm. And I said, "I love and appreciate all the effort you put into this. I do, and everyone else will enjoy it, but I cannot eat it." And she wouldn't accept that. So I wandered back into the room I'm staying in, and I just prayed, and I texted my sponsor. She texted me right back. And within 15 minutes, my friend came in the room and apologized to me, and we sat. And I shared with her that if I take a bite of that, what I risk is being in this room tonight, wrappers all around me, food dribbled down my clothes, crying, eating, sick in the dark. And she said, "Really?" And I said, "Really. That's where it takes me." And so it was a monumental moment for me because I have never stayed in this house that I haven't binged. So thank you for letting me share that. And it's only with the help of God in this program and you, all of you people, that I'm able to do that. And I'm leaving today, and it's all peaceful and wonderful. So thank you, God, and thank you, everyone on the line. I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Lorraine Ann, for closing us out. And thank you all who shared today on this wonderful Tuesday. And we're going to now close our meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And let me see. I have Robin D. Z. Will you please read a vision for you?
Sure. This is Robin D. Z. from South Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us on the as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.